This is Reverend Joseph Caesar, and welcome to the Good News Program. I am truly blessed and honored to be called by God to be His servant to spread the good news of salvation to you all. You have done the right thing. Don't change the channel. You are not here by chance, but by divine guidance. Hello again. This is Reverend Joseph E. Caesar coming to you from BBS Radio right here in Wilmington, Delaware, bringing you the good news of salvation. As you heard me before, don't change the channel. Today, I want to talk to you from the King James Version of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. And time and time I will be shifting to get my excerpts, so bear with me. Hope I wouldn't bore you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Powerful. When God's word first comes to you, Satan immediately tries to steal it. And that comes from Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. However, we can only do so if you don't have understanding. That's why you need to comprehend what takes place the moment you accept the Lord. Understanding prevents the devil from talking you out of your salvation benefits. God's word promises that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and had believed in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Have you done this? Have you? Have you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus? Do you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead? But are you a whosoever who has called on the name of the Lord? If you answer is yes, if that answer is really yes, then you've been saved. You were saved the very moment you sincerely committed your life to Jesus Christ. The truth of his word instantly came to pass as you believe in your heart and confessed with your mouth. Hey, hooray! Congratulations! You have been saved. You are in good hands. It's better hands than Allstate. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand, or out of my Father's hand. John 10:28-29. Since you've committed your life to him, he'll keep you. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Good peace awarded by 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. God will be faithful even when you aren't. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. No, he cannot deny himself. When you make mistakes or feel discouraged, just remember, God can't deny himself because he always keep his word. Just like the songwriter said, when you have troubles, don't cry. Just remember, God is standing by. God will always be faithful, even when we are not. Knowledge from God's word helps you and I, and all of us, comprehend what took place in our lives at salvation. You began an eternal relationship with the most wonderful person in the universe. Knowing and following him will bring you unspeakable joy. Salvation isn't just going to heaven when you die. God wants you to start experiencing your salvation benefits immediately. And this requires knowledge from his word. You have to read the word to get understanding. Or somebody have to coach you to know the word. As you understand and act on the knowledge, you will experience the benefit of your salvation. God has given you everything you need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter 1:2-4. The knowledge of God gives you access to His promises by believing and acting on them. You'll partake of His divine nature. This means you will experience all of God's love, joy, peace, health, deliverance, prosperity, etc. That's already in your spirit now by Christ Jesus. As your thinking changes to line up with your born-again spirit, your life will change too. For instance, perhaps you've spent your entire life hating one day of the week. Well, like tomorrow, Mondays, or some Mondays, you've been always giving it over to the devil by believing, speaking, and expecting it to be a bad day, because you have already focused on that and it sets in already. Just because you were born again doesn't mean that all of your negative attitudes and thought patterns have changed yet. Monday will be the same as before until knowledge from God, which word, cause you to understand and act differently toward it. As the world changes, the way you believe, speak, and expect things to be, you will start experiencing your salvation benefits, even on Mondays. If you have to start to renew your mind, your whole outlook will change as you grow in the knowledge of God and His promises. This is called renewing your mind. And it reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that he may prove that is what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:1-2. The way you think, ladies and gentlemen, must match your born-again spirit at salvation. Your spirit became an entirely new creation. Therefore, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Your born again spirit is always in agreement with God. The word will renew your mind. So what's already happened in your spirit? God wants you to think and act like Him by submitting yourself to His word. Your life will change like a caterpillar transforming into a beautiful butterfly. Don't allow worldly pressure to squeeze you into its ungodly mold. Renew your mind. Be transformed by the knowledge of God, and your life will increasingly reflect Christ Jesus. You got to renew your mind, and then your spirit will change. Some people doesn't understand the spiritual nature of radical change that occurred when they committed their life to Christ. For example, many individuals receive Jesus in jail because they are desperate for a change. Waking up the next morning, they find themselves in the same cell, wearing the same clothes, and eating the same food. They don't feel any different, and their circumstances certainly haven't changed. Discouraged by this lack of immediate outward transformation, they incorrectly conclude that nothing really happened at salvation. Because of this, many never go on to renew their minds and renew the benefits or enjoy it of salvation. Your body and soul, mind, will, and emotion didn't change at salvation the way your spirit did. If you were fat when you were newborn again, you were fat afterwards. If you were bad at math before you were being saved, you will stay bad at math until you increase in learning. Your mind isn't instantly changed. It's your spirit that's been made new. So therefore, since you can't see or touch your spirit, God's word is the only way you can know what has happened within. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. In John chapter 6, verse 63. Faith is simply trusting what the word says happened in your spirit more than what you see in the natural. When I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, about 40, 42 years ago, I experienced an inward knowing, something like a nagging fear of hell left. But other than that, nothing felt different to me. There were no bells, no music, no whistles, no fireworks. I had to believe God's word when it said my salvation was true. I renewed my mind. I increasingly partook of his divine nature and enjoy living in his promises. Feelings change, but the truth doesn't. If you genuinely committed your life to the Lord, the truth is he will always honor the commitment. He'll never deny, leave, or forsake you. Your relationship with God is secure, whether you felt anything or not. Radical change took place in your spirit, and you are now a brand new person. Trust that God's word to you is true. You will experience your salvation more as you renew your mind. When you think according to the flesh, in example, what your five senses tell you and give into negative external influences, you won't be able to enjoy God's benefit. However, as you trust the truth of God's word by keeping your mind on the Lord and thinking in line with your born-again spirit, you will experience God's love, peace, joy, etc. The choice is yours. Begin renewing your mind today. And get to know that Jesus is Lord. Salvation is God's gift to you through faith in Jesus Christ. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Salvation can't be earned by any amount of good works, because God doesn't give eternal life based of anything to do, not at all. Jesus Christ did everything that needed to be done through his death, burial, and resurrection. You receive eternal life by faith in him alone. No one deserves to be saved because of their good works. None. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, says Romans chapter 3, verse 23. God doesn't deal with you in proportion to your sin. No, he does not deal with you in proportion to your sin. If you miss heaven by an inch, then you've missed it by a mile. Either you are completely righteous in his sight or you're not. It's that simple. No matter how good you think you are, you've been bad enough to miss heaven. Yes. The Lord explicitly stated that he is not just a way to the Father, but the way. Totally the way. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14, 6, Acts chapter 4, verse 12 declares, neither is there salvation in any other. None. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Either you come to God the Father through faith in His Son Jesus Christ, or you don't come at all. No other how, no other way. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good that one, but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandment: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, master, all these have I observed from my youth." You follow that? And you can find that in Matthew chapter 10, verse 17 to 20. A rich young ruler asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He wanted to know how he could earn his way into heaven because he had money. Notice how the young man called Jesus, "Good master." At first, when the Lord counseled him by saying that only God is good, he dropped "good" now and referred to Jesus simply as master, trying to use impressive word. By this we know he didn't see Jesus as God. In Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He wasn't just a good man who gave us a tremendous example of humanity and love. He was literally God incarnate. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. 1 Timothy 3:16. Either Jesus was a deceiver, or he said he was. No man who claimed to be God but actually wasn't should ever be considered good. However, there's more verifiable historical evidence proving that Jesus Christ lived, died, and was resurrected than that same Julius Caesar ever lived. Every cult and religion on earth acknowledges Jesus' existence, but they stop short of calling him God. They'll grant him the status of a prophet or an inspired teacher sent from God, but not deity himself. The rich young ruler did the same by dropping good and simply called Jesus master. He just couldn't bring himself to believe that this man standing before him was God. Couldn't. Apart from Jesus being the Son of God, there's no way to the Father. None whatsoever. Everything hinges on his divinity. The Lord himself stated that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. They that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. John 5:23. If Jesus wasn't God, then his life wasn't worth more than any other man's life. And he couldn't have atoned for the whole human race. However, since he was God in the flesh, his life was worth more than all mankind, making his sacrifice eternally sufficient for all. He was in the flesh too. So we had what they call now the great exchange. Christianity is the only faith with a savior. You can check it out. You can check out history. All other faiths depend on good works to achieve various degrees of holiness. The holier you live, the better chance you have of being accepted by that God. In essence, you become your own savior because salvation is based on your own performance. God knew you couldn't live a perfect life. Instead of demanding that you do everything right, he came and took your sin into his own body at the cross. And that is 1 Peter 2:24. He suffered the punishment you deserved to give you salvation as a gift. Praise God for that Savior. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus took you, your sin, so you won't. It says that Jesus took your sins so you could become righteous. For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God put his judgment for sin upon Christ at the cross so that you couldn't or wouldn't have to bear it. Then, when you believe and receive the Lord, he placed Jesus' righteousness on you. This is the great exchange. He take your sin and put it on him. The Bible says, so, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And when this exchange takes place, your spirit is immediately recreated with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. you are then able to follow and to be in fellowship with God, spirit to spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In John 4:24, even when you sin, your born again spirit cannot be contaminated because of the impenetrable seal of Christ's own spirit, in whom he also trusted. After that, they heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In Ephesians 1:13, since the new nature of your spirit is always holy, you can approach God at any time and in any condition. Now, that's good news. Now, that's good news. That's the good news of salvation. The new you, wearing your new you and character. That's the good news of salvation. As I come to an end, in the mighty name of Jesus, we will take up another portion again following week coming. And let me say goodbye, and may the Spirit of the Almighty God bless you and be with you, and the management of BBS Radio. May God richly bless you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. This is the good news of salvation. Go with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Ta-ta.